come on from our hearts. Let's talk to the King of Kings for just a moment. We bless your holy name, God. I worship you. I adore you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. God's worthy of all the praise and glory and honor. Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. While you're turning there, verse number 1, I too want to greet all of you in the name of the Lord, and also a very special word of thanks to our two first-time guests here tonight. Was it Sylvester? Sebastian. All right. Short memory, my brother. Pray for me. Amen. We appreciate having these folks with us tonight. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. I'm going to read about 3 or 4 verses of scripture, and I'm going to let you be seated because I'm going to read several more verses of scripture. What I feel in my heart tonight is going to be presented more as a Bible study than as a sermon, and yet there is a tremendous sermon in what we're going to be looking at together tonight. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. How do you like that for an introduction? Amen. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I find that quite interesting. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. We'll stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this house of worship tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your marvelous word that you have given to us to lead and guide us and to help us to know truth and to know you in a very intimate and special way. Now, God, I pray for your anointing to come upon this congregation and that your hand would rest upon me tonight to deliver the burden of my soul that you have placed there. God, we ask for your perfect will to be done in every life, and we glorify you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. I'm going to go ahead and read a few more verses. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure in unrighteousness. In verse number 7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So I want to talk about this tonight, the mystery of iniquity. All of the verses that I read in your hearing are centered around the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's giving us an insight to what we will be facing in the end time as we approach the coming of the Lord Jesus. And the thing that is emphasized again and again throughout this entire chapter is the spirit of iniquity. And many things are said concerning this, many different references. He has almost as many titles as was given to Jesus in Isaiah 9 and 6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But in this passage of scripture, we see him called as the man of sin. He's referred to as the mystery of iniquity. He's referred to as that wicked one. And I think there's the son of perdition. Four various names that are given to him. None of them are names that you'd want to give your son or that you would want to carry as your own name, because all of these titles refer to evil and iniquity. And so let's go into this together and see if we can understand some things from scripture that will maybe answer some questions in your mind and at the same time help you understand the pressure that we fight every day of our life. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more the spirit of iniquity is going to abound in the earth. The Bible says because iniquity did abound, let's see, how does it go? The love of many shall wax cold. One of the biggest things that we fight in the church is staying on fire for God is the spirit of iniquity working against us, pressing us down until our love for God begins to wane somewhat. And that begins to give that spirit the upper hand. We have to fight it every day of our life. There are some things that are innate, some things that we were born with, some things that we cannot change. Only by the power of the Spirit of God can they be changed. But one of those things is we, as a human being, our flesh does not want to come under authority to anything or anyone. Amen. We want to do things our way. We want to believe that the way we see it is the way that it is, and we don't want anyone to contradict that, even the Word of God. We must be very, very careful that we do not allow this spirit of iniquity to gain a foothold in our life. It's something you will fight all of your life because it's part of the human nature. Amen. And so iniquity in and of itself is not a sin. It's far worse than that. Iniquity is a spirit. Iniquity is a character fault. And for instance, if a person has a tendency toward being violent and yet he never hits anybody or does anything, he has not committed a sin. But that spirit of violence working in him can cause him to attack somebody and to harm somebody. And so, yes, he needs to deal not only with the violence factor, but he needs to get to the root of it, which is a spirit of violence or an attitude of violence that he pets and allows to be a part of his character and a part of his personality and a part of his definition of who he is. And so iniquity is not the first sin, but iniquity produced the first sin. And it's the motivation of all sins that are committed to the present time. The first insight that we have to iniquity, the first one that we know that was affected by iniquity was the archangel Lucifer. And the Bible says that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. In other words, he was there to protect God's holiness. And God said, I've set thee so. This is in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 14 on down a few verses. He said, so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, the jewels, the precious things. But we see the power of iniquity who was working in the perfect angel. When he was created by God, he was perfect. However, that spirit of iniquity caused him to rebel against God and forever corrupted him and his by his sin. His nature was no longer perfect, but it was vile and corrupt, and so it is even to this present day. So we see the power of iniquity. If it could bring down the archangel, it's something that we must war against and not give it any opening in our thoughts, in our conscious mind. Amen. In anything that we do, we got to learn how to recognize iniquity when it rears its head up and deal with it quickly. And so it goes on to say, thou wast perfect in thy ways. Ways are the way you do things. It has to do with actions. It has to do with things you speak. It has to do with places you go. It has to do with other things that you do. And so he said, all of your ways were perfect. Amen. Until iniquity was found in thee. What motivated Adam and Eve to go against the word of God and disobey? Amen. That iniquity that Satan was possessed with, was corrupted by, is the very thing that made him more subtle than any other beast of the field, that gave him the ability to have a glib tongue and to convince Eve that God did not mean what he said, amen, that she would die if she ate of the forbidden fruit. And so we see here again, the first sin that man created, or that man committed, was the result of being seduced and being deceived by the spirit of iniquity. Everyone I'm talking to here tonight, at many times in your life, you too have been affected by the spirit of iniquity. Amen. Even little children, they don't have to get very old. Some of them can barely walk and toddle, and already they don't want mama or daddy telling them what to do. Amen. They already have that will, and that will is what iniquity takes advantage of and pushes it to a place that God never intended for it to go. So, Adam and Eve were motivated to disobey God as they were seduced by the same spirit that brought Lucifer down. So it's important for us to understand tonight what iniquity is. And for one reason, one very special reason among many that we could talk about, is so that we can guard against it. Now, the word iniquity itself means lawlessness. That means somebody that does not want to live by the law, by the rules. It means contempt and violation of law. It means refusal to submit to authority. So how many of you understand what iniquity is? Driving home yesterday, going down one of the turnpikes here in Oklahoma, several of them, they've upped the speed limit to 80 miles an hour. We got on it and went just a short distance, and I saw where a cop had pulled someone over. It appeared to be for speeding. But I already said to my wife, it doesn't matter. They cranked it up 5 more miles per hour. And I said, those that normally go 80 will be going 85. Because there's just something in man that doesn't want to submit to the rules, to the law. And so it's a contempt and a violation of law. It's a refusal to submit to authority. Now let me ask you something. What's going on in our nation and around the world even as we gather here tonight? I have no problem with free expression of people's beliefs and so forth. I enjoy having freedom of speech myself. However, it's more than a peaceful protest when they're burning down buildings and throwing rocks at the law enforcement officials and other things, Molotov cocktails and the list goes on and on. Several cops across the nation have been shot and killed. But you know, this is not just going on in the United States. You know, these same things are happening in major cities around the world. Amen. As they join in. Why did they join up? It's not because they're concerned about what the original people that had a right to stand and protest and say we need something done about this. I'm not against that at all. But it's all these thugs and all of these people that don't want to do what's right that's taking advantage of what could perhaps be something good could come out of, and corrupting it as their old spirit of iniquity. They get a chance to do it right here in Tulsa. Amen. They broke into several businesses. They looted and they tore up things. And as far as I know, hardly any, or I haven't even heard of any that has been tried or sentenced or so forth. It's just like everybody just backing off saying, if we let them have their way a while, they'll go away. But they don't go away. Just ask those in Seattle, Washington, if they go away or not. Amen. It still continues. Why? Because it's giving an outlet for the spirit of iniquity that wants to take this entire world over 100% and control the actions of humanity as the devil seeks to devour and destroy every soul living upon the face of the earth. Here's a way that it more or less manifests itself. When you desire to be a law unto yourself, you know what that's caused by? That's caused by the spirit of iniquity. In other words, You know, I can make better rules than this. I don't need to go with these. I can run my own business. You know, if you yield to the Spirit, you believe after a little bit that you're right in everything you think or do. And such people refuse to come under authority, whether it be the authority of man or it be the authority of God. They do not want to be under spiritual authority. And they want to decide whether they obey or not. I like this rule. I'm fine with that. I don't like this. I'm not going to do that. I'm telling you, that is a spirit of iniquity. Do not allow that to have any room in your life. I've been stopped a few times over the years by law enforcement officers. I've never gotten angry with one. Because when they stopped me, I was speeding. Now, why should I be mad at an officer for doing what he swore that he would do, and that's uphold the law? When I knew I was speeding. I remember, not been that long ago, but a few years back, I was driving over to Arkansas to attend a church dedication, a friend of mine. And I was in somewhat of a hurry, not because I had to, just because, you know, the king's business requireth haste. That's my favorite scripture. And I was pushing. Now, look, if you're not doing the king's business, that doesn't work for you. Yeah. But as a pastor, I'm considered a 24/7 servant of people. Really? There's a little tax break I get because I'm on call 24/7. And anyway, so I was in Oklahoma. I was going east on I-40. I crossed over into Arkansas, and I looked down, and I had my cruise set on 82 miles an hour. That was really pushing it. That was more than budging. And so I didn't go 2 miles, and car turned on his lights. I saw him up there. I just slowed down and pulled over in front of him and parked. He got out and he come up to my car and he said, "Sir, do you know why I'm stopping you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I was speeding." He said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Do you know how fast you were going?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "How fast are you going?" I said, 82 miles an hour. He said, "How did you know that?" I said, "Because that's what I have my cruise control set on." This is a true story. I'm not embellishing it at all. He said, "Let me see your driver's license and your proof of insurance and whatever." And I gave that to him, and he went up to his car and he ran his check and all that, and he come back to me with that stuff in his hand, and he handed it to me. He said, "Well, it looks like everything's in order." He said, "Look." And he'd already asked me. I told him I was a preacher when he asked me. And so anyway, he said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "Okay, go ahead." He said, "If I don't give you a ticket, not even a warning, will you promise me that you will not speed one bit the rest of the day?" I said, "Yeah, I think I can do that. And God is my witness. I obeyed everything. Even school zones that didn't have flashing lights." Because I gave the man my word, and it saved me a lot of money. Amen. But you see, we have a, you know, a lot of people get mad. Cops stopped them. They'll be cursing at them and carrying on. "Yeah, you guys, you this, that, and the other, and something else." Not realizing that a few miles down the road, they might have a problem, and that would be the same cop to have to come and help them out. Amen. So what I'm trying to get across to us tonight, we don't want to develop this attitude that I'm always right, and I'm the exception to the rule, and I can do whatever I want to, and it's nobody's business. Amen. Because, number one, I hope you want to be saved. In the book of Proverbs 21:2, we read, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart." Yeah, he looks at your heart. Amen. And what he finds there is iniquity. And he's not going to accept that. Now, just still kind of laying a few things out here, and we'll get on into the meat of this in just a moment. But every generation of mankind, since the creation of the world until the present time, there have been those of every generation that have made a big mark upon the world because of their iniquity and their refusal to come under God's government. The first generation, Cain and Abel. Cain was the iniquity. Even when God gave him opportunity after opportunity to repent and get things right, he refused to come under the authority of God. And so he and his offspring, amen, became very lawless people. And they were totally caught up in lives of self-indulgence. And they were very immoral people. And their spirit, their influence, and their attitude began to move throughout the earth in just a few short more generations. Mankind upon the earth had become so vile. God was sick in his stomach, said, I'm not going to allow man to live any longer. I repent that I made them. I'm going to destroy the entire world with the great flood. And then it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why did he find grace in the eyes of the Lord? We read over in the New Testament that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. We need more preachers of righteousness today and fewer preachers of ungodliness and rebellion and iniquity. I'm talking about the group out there that's always trying to stir things up and get people to rebel against established authority. And then, of course, Noah was judged righteous, as I just mentioned. Then the man Abraham, an age of idolatry. And it was so bad that God said, I'm going to have to pull me a group of people out to myself and have a special nation of people that I can work with and I can dwell with them. And of course, that was the offspring of Abraham, the Jewish people, that race of people that God used and dealt with all the way through the rest of the Old Testament. But I want to talk about the spirit of iniquity that we're dealing with today. The spirit of iniquity that was introduced into the world eons ago by none other than Lucifer will be and is the dominant spirit at work in what we call the end time. And so the biggest enemy that the church will fight and is fighting today in this end time is the spirit of iniquity. Is anybody listening? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, that great chapter on prophecy, as Jesus answered three questions asked him by his disciples. And he said these words in verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Are there any false prophets today? There's way more false prophets than there are true prophets. And the next verse says, and because... I tried to quote this a little bit ago. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He's talking about their love for God, their love for righteousness. These are saved people. These are the people that will comprise the church when Jesus Christ comes to this earth to capture or catch away his bride. And he said, because iniquity shall abound, many people are going to get tired of the pressure. Over the last few years, I've had people say, you know what? I'm just tired of the pressure. I don't want to go out and sin. I don't want to do nothing like that. I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I just need a break. I just need to rest. What is it? Amen. Their love is waxing cold because iniquity is abounding and it's pushing. But he goes on to say in the next verse, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That word endure lets me know that you're going to have to fight back. You're going to have to push back. Amen. You're going to have to be proactive. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you catching on to what we're talking about? So in our scripture text tonight in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, in the chapter number 1, Paul is writing about the day and hour that they were living in and what was going to come futuristic. And there had been some false doctrine going around about the coming of the Lord. Some were teaching that Jesus Christ had already come back and there wasn't going to be any future rapture. That doctrine is still around today. Then Paul went to tell them, he said, now, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. How many of you believe Jesus is going to come and gather the church and take it out of here, huh? Do you believe in the coming of the Lord? Amen. That we'll be gathered unto him. He said, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He said, I am not the one that promoted this doctrine. Evidently, from the way this is structured, the way the sentences read here, there were those that were teaching this and using Paul as their authority. When he heard about it, he wrote an epistle and set the record straight. I did not say that. I do not endorse that. I do not believe that. It is patently false. And so he begins to lay out to the church at Thessalonica some of the things that was going to take place before Jesus Christ came for his church. I don't have time to go into each verse here. I don't want to take up too much of your time. But he begins to give great detail about how iniquity would rule. And he talks about a leader that would arise, that would rule over the entire world. Now, one of the things about this man is he will be the personification of iniquity. And he'll be known by various titles, which I just touched on in my introduction, that describe his spirit, his attitude, and what he's all about. He's called that man of sin. That man of sin. The son of perdition. That was only used one other time in scripture. And it was used to describe none other than Judas after he had betrayed the Lord. This is the level of wickedness and evil that this man of sin will be. He's also called the mystery of iniquity. And he's also called that wicked or that wicked one. My. And you begin to try to absorb this and wrap your mind around that man of sin. He has no righteousness. It's all about sin. The son of perdition. He just sell his soul out. Just do the sorriest, nastiest, lowest things that could be done. And the spirit of iniquity or the mystery of iniquity. He's all about anti-God, anti-law, anti-government. That's what it's about. And so he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. A falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now let's read just a little bit further here. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He's not trying to be equal with God. He's promoting himself above God. So that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. This man of sin is going to appear to be anything but connected with sin. But the true church will not be deceived by the man of sin. He will be revealed to those that are submitted to God and striving to do the will of God. And there's only one thing today that's stopping this man of sin, this man of iniquity, from completing what he's been working on for a long, long time. And the Bible refers to it here. As, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So what it's telling us here that there's something that's holding on and blocking and hindering and resisting so that he cannot complete what he wants to do. In other words, there is a tidal wave of iniquity ready to burst forth upon the entire world. Why hasn't it happened yet? Because of the church. The church. The church is withholding Satan amen, from doing what he wants to do in the world. Verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he, the man of sin, might be revealed in his time. This word, it goes on to tell us, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. This word that's translated here in King James Version as letteth, it means to hold back, to detain or restrain. It's not like letting something go or letting something happen, but it's saying this spirit is held in check somewhat by something that's powerful enough to hold him back and keep him from doing what he wants to do in the world. What else is there that exists on the face of the earth that could begin to hold back that spirit of iniquity? It's you and I, brothers and sisters. It's the church of the living God. Praise God. And so he's telling us that it's working. That mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let or hinder, hold on, restrain until he be taken out of the way. What's that? When we get out of here, I guess we'll be out of his way. But even reading a little bit further here, it talks about, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, his word, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, a light like the world has never seen before. Oh, this one that we're talking about tonight, the spirit of iniquity, this one that becomes the personification of iniquity and ungodliness. Amen. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You will see those that will replicate miracles. You will see those that have all kinds of signs and seems like they have power to accomplish certain things, but the Bible says it's lying wonders, which means it's sleight of hand. Amen. It's not true. It's not what it seems to be. But all those that reject the truth and are filled with unrighteousness will accept him and follow after him. Why? It goes to tell us, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, the word deceit, unrighteousness deceives us. People that are deceived commit unrighteous acts. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We're living in a day and hour when people do not want to take a stand for Bible doctrine. They have this attitude. You believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. We're all going to the same place. My friend, that is not a biblical doctrine. That is a damnable lie from the pits of hell. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, above all, in you all. So they receive not the love of the truth. The truth matters. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the lie, and the lie will damn your soul in hell for eternity. Oh, I love the truth. I want the truth. I can't stand it hardly. I can hardly keep my mouth shut when I hear somebody preaching false doctrine or teaching false doctrine. Amen. And so these that receive not the love of the truth, who are they? It's somebody that knew the truth. A lot of people don't know the truth. They don't fight against the truth. They're not against the truth. They just don't know what it is. But when you have an opportunity to know the truth, and then you turn from it, you refuse to fall in love with the truth, then you're in trouble. They're going to perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. People, please look at that verse number 10. Look at that. and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Not only must you obey the truth, but you got to love it. That's our trip. That's our paid journey. Amen. To our heavenly abode. But when they refuse truth, God will send them a strong delusion. You know what a delusion is? It's believing something that's not true. It doesn't exist. It's a fantasy. It's a figment of your imagination. It's something that somebody's made up. It's a false precept or concept that is contrary to good doctrine, to sound doctrine. And it said God's going to send it to them. You remember there was a place in the Old Testament when these two kings come together, king of Israel and the king of Judah. And they were going to go fight a battle. And so they gathered the people together. And these two kings called the prophets in. And one was saying one thing, and one was saying something else. But it gives us a little peek in the heavenly realm. And it says that God was saying, Who will go for me? Who'll be a mouthpiece for me? And this one said, I will. And so God said, I want you to go down there and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. Now, these were false prophets. And so they went down there, and every one of them prophesied, go to war. God's going to give you complete victory over your enemy. But God allowed that to happen. Now, look, God sent that spirit, a lying spirit. Why? Because they did not want to hear the truth. Because there was one man of God that told him the truth, and the king got mad and said, I told you, he never says anything kind about me. He never says anything kind to me. And they shut him up in prison and put him on bread and water and said, when we come back, we're going to deal with you. He didn't have nothing to worry about because that king didn't get to come back. But they were soundly defeated before their enemies that day. But it said, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. If you resist truth long enough, you resist God long enough, but finally he'll just say, go ahead, whatever. And then our iniquity can lead us down many, many paths. It's terrible. It's hard for me to think about this, but they're going to be damned for eternity because they refuse the truth and chose to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Next verse says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, that's a lot of people's problem. That's a lot of the problem. What are you talking about, Brother Howard? Well, they actually enjoy simple pleasures that they indulge in. And that's one of the reasons why they won't really make a firm stand for what's right and just put some things out of their life so that they can be free to truly live for God with their whole heart. So, as I conclude this tonight, the pressures that we face today are impossible to overcome unless you stay close to Jesus. How many of you understand that? How many of you believe that? Amen. You're going to have to stay close to God. You can't be up and down, in and out, and lukewarm and unfaithful and keep the victory during the day and hour that we're living in. And as I mentioned earlier, around the world, people are rebelling and protesting and against those that seek and just maintain law and order. And look, we need to recognize that this spirit that's pressing us, that sometimes we can't understand, it's this spirit of iniquity that's working in the world. It'd be real good every now and then when you get in the spirit of prayer to just rebuke the spirit of iniquity. Off of you, off my family, off the church, away from the people of God, in my community. We were having church prayer meeting. It was on a Tuesday night. What's it been, about 2.5-3 months ago, when they announced that what they were going to do over here, the protesters that have been protesting here in Tulsa, and there have been every night, there have been quite a bit of other stuff going on besides just marching and protesting. And so I ask the church to pray that God would not allow them to commit one act of violence or one thing. And we prayed and we just believed it in Jesus' name. And did you know that of all the different protests they held, they never had one person cause a moment's problem? In fact, they got so bored with it, I think about 8 or 8:15, they all said, let's go somewhere else. So some of them left and went out to Woodland Hills and went ahead and tore up two or three businesses just so they could say they did it before they went home for the night. That spirit of iniquity, we prayed against it, and it could not come on these premises. The National Guard was set up over here on the bridge, and they kind of looked this direction a few times, what I was told, but they never made any effort to come this direction. And their mode had been, wherever they were at, to go out into the neighborhood and harass and cause trouble and stir up everybody. So we've got power. We've got power over the devil. We've got power over the spirit of iniquity. And so we need to learn how to put pressure on the forces of hell. I don't know if you realize this or not, but do you realize that when the devil comes against you and puts pressure on you, that's pretty miserable, isn't it? How many of you would agree with that? Makes you feel depressed, makes you feel a lot of ways. But do you realize that when you begin to pray against the forces of hell, when you begin to pray for revival, when you begin to pray for people to be saved and loose from the bondage of sin, and you really press that home, did you know you're putting pressure on the devil and he gets miserable? Amen. So it's kind of like this. If you want to fight, we're going to give you a fight. Amen. We're not going to throw in the towel and give up and go home and act like a baby. Amen. We're the children of God. Amen. We're washed in his blood. We have his name. We've been filled with his spirit. We are the church of the living God. Let's go ahead and act like the church. Amen. I'm calling on this church. Let's put as much pressure on hell over the next few days as we can as we begin to open this revival effort this coming weekend. Amen. And then let's fight for truth. Let's spread the gospel far and wide. Let's support more missionaries. Let's send more missionaries out. Amen. Let's become missionaries ourselves. This is part of the world too. You can be a missionary right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's so many around here that needs God, that needs what you have. Amen. So let's stand up and let's proclaim the truth of the word of God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. So let's stand together tonight. I love you, Jesus. Praise your name, oh God. So what is the mystery of iniquity? It's unveiled. It's uncovered. It's revealed tonight. It's that original concept, attitude, spirit that brought sin and iniquity, introduced it into heaven. Same thing that introduced sin to the earth. Same thing that's been around forever, working against the kingdom of God. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to the Lord right now. Lord, we worship you. God, I bless your holy name. I exalt you. I magnify you. God, give us wisdom. Give us faith. Give us boldness. Oh, God, give us a strong desire to stand for you, to stand for truth, to spread this gospel to the whole world, to be the kind of people that you've called us to be. Help us to purge ourselves from all sin of the flesh and spirit. Help us to be right in thy sight, oh God, to do your will, to be your voice piece, to be your legs, your arms, your hands. Help us to reach out to the lost and dying. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of the people that we pray for, what they're bound by is the spirit of iniquity. And I would suggest and your prayers for them, that you might just pray against the spirit of iniquity that has them in its grasp, that's seeking to blind their spiritual eyes and to keep them from serving the Lord. Amen. Tell you what, when you get on the right spirit and begin to pray against it, you're going to see things begin to happen. Good things, changes taking place, because the God we serve is greater, amen, than the powers of darkness. Let's pray right now. Lord, somehow or another, let your word go deep into our soul and spirit. Help us to recognize that the spirit behind what we're facing and dealing with today, this pandemic that's worldwide, the reaction to it around the world, the threats going back and forth from nation to nation, oh God, the outpouring of people around the world that are protesting and that are rioting and that are just doing everything they can to destroy properties and lives and livelihoods. God, we come against that spirit of iniquity. We don't want to allow a place for it in our heart, in our life, in our families, in our home, in our church. Purge us, oh God. Purge us, oh God. Help us to come under your authority. Help us to submit to the word of God. Help us, God, to allow those that you have given spiritual authority to, help us to allow them, oh God, to lead and guide us without us pushing them back and pulling back, but to surrender and submit to the purpose and will of God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.